Father, we're just so thankful this morning that you've brought us back together to worship and to praise you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would give us the words and minister to our hearts and our lives, Lord. For we know that you're in the process of changing our attitudes, our mental consciousness. Father, that we're coming into a deeper relationship with you. We thank you for your blessings. We praise you, Father, for who you are. We worship and adore you. Amen. Well, this morning we'll have what we were supposed to have last Sunday, but things just didn't work out for us to get together, so we'll just have it today. And this has been on my heart for a while, and so I'm just going to go ahead and go into this. You know, man has taught us so many times that we must overcome by our own efforts. And this message has just been drilled in us for years, and yet this teaching does not adhere to what the Word of God has to say. Walking in a relationship with God does not come by what we do, but by what He has already done and declared concerning us, concerning His purpose for our lives. In Colossians 2 and verse 13, it says, "And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath," which is past tense, "He quickened together with Himself, having forgiven you all trespasses." And that word "quicken" means to make one alive together with one another. The Amplified reads that, "And you who were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh," your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, "God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our trespasses." And the Message Bible says, when you were stuck in your old sin dead life, I love this, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it, all sin forgiven. I love that. I love that. Well, I've said this in many ways before, that how can a dead man respond to God? And they put it just right. He said, we were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh, but He hath quickened us together. And I like the way the Message Bible, when you were stuck in your old dead, sin dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it, all sin forgiven. You know, I do not want to come across as criticizing churches and denominations. But you know, creation has been so short because of the fact that their dogma, their teachings, their doctrines that they have had for all these years are so written in stone that nothing changes them. And so many people have been hurt by those teachings and still are being hurt, are being held in bondage by those teachings. And I believe in this hour, for even for us where we are, God is reminding us over and over again that it's not what I do, it's what I be. You know, all of this has been drilled in us, that you have got to do to please God. You've got to do certain things to please God. But yet, he tells us here that we were dead in sin. And it's Him that hath quickened us. And when I talk about these things, I think of Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul had no intention of embracing Christ as the Messiah. He had no intention of that. In fact, he had papers on himself given by the high priest that gave him the authority to persecute those that believed in the name of Jesus. And yet when he was struck down on the road to Damascus, he said, "Lord, what must I do? What do you want me to do, Lord?" And God told him. And Paul said, "I didn't confer with flesh and blood." Paul was 14 years with the Lord being taught of God and gave us most of the New Testament. And that was not a part of his life plan. I honestly believe that Paul had never thought in his wildest dreams that he would embrace this Christ that he had been persecuting. But the Bible says that all of God's works were finished before the foundation of the world. God had proposed in himself that this man named Saul, who persecuted the church, was going to become one of the greatest apostles of the first century and give us most of the New Testament. And I personally don't think there was nothing that Saul or Paul could do about it, because God had proposed and set it in motion. And here he says that when we were dead in our sin-dead life, we were incapable of responding to God. But yet in that dead state, God brought us to life right along with Christ. Think of it. All sin forgiven. That Jesus Christ, when he died on Calvary, put an end to sin. He dealt a death blow to sin. There's no more sacrifice for sin. Sin was paid for in full for every person, for all of God's creation on Calvary. And there will never be another sacrifice for sin. So how do we think that we can please God by our feeble doing? It is the life that we are living out of the Spirit that is within us. In Ephesians 4 and verse 23, he says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." We've talked a lot about that. The way that our mind, you stop and think of it. Psychiatrists, what are they doing? They're trying to change the way you think. That's the whole problem. They're trying to change the way you think. Well, instead of God changing the way we think all the time, he is bringing a metamorphosis in our mind. He is totally renovating, renewing our mind, our soul, our heart. And he said, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness." Put on the new man, the regenerated self, created in the image of God, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. Let's go to Colossians, the third chapter. He says, "And having put on the new man," or past tense, already has. You see, if we stop and look at what God has already done for us, salvation has been paid for. Sin has been forgiven. Sin has been dealt a death blow. The Bible says that he took the ordinances that were against us and nailed them to the cross, blotted them out, triumphed over them in his cross, that he destroyed him that hath the power of death, which is the devil. You know, we look at all these things and we say, well, you know, something's wrong. I'm hearing one thing, but yet the Word of God is saying another thing. So who are you going to take? So he says, having put on, and you have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge, after the image, the likeness of him who created it. That's verse 10, Colossians 3:10. You've clothed yourself in the new spiritual self. You see, that's where we come into problems. We are a spirit being. But man in his religious state wants to dwell on one thing, on what you see. It's what you see. This flesh and blood. And this flesh and blood will not be renovated until that day when that final trumpet sounds and this corruptible puts on incorruptible and this mortal puts on immortality. That's when this body is going to be changed. But until then, God is dealing with our spiritual self, our soul, our spirit. And that is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into a fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image of Him who created it. Now you're dressed in a new war robe, the Message Bible says. Every item of your new life is custom made by the Creator, which has His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. You see, you're dressed in a new war robe. Listen to what the Bible says about us. Don't listen to what man says. Man says you're a depraved, decrepit individual that's not worthy of anything. But God, the Creator, says, I made you worthy. I died for your sins on Calvary. I purchased you. You're not your own anymore. You've been purchased with the blood of the cross, and you're mine. You know, you're mine. You're already dressed in the new wardrobe. Every item of your new life is custom made. God custom made it for you. And He has His label on it. And the old man is obsolete. Adam's dead. That's one of the definitions of sin is mistaken identity, who you're identifying with. Are we identifying with the Adamic nature of the old man? Or have we come above that and began to identify with the Christ, with the new spiritual man that we are, that we're being remolded and remade and renewed in the likeness and the image of Him? In Hebrews 10, chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, for by one offering, now I want us to listen to that, by one offering He hath, not we. You know, if it was up to man to do these things, the Word would say that. And we've talked many times, we've mentioned the fact that when Abraham was getting ready to make the sacrifice, God told him what to do. He laid the meat out in the fashion that it was to be made with, made the covenant, when he was to make the covenant with God. He laid the meat out, but when the hour of the covenant time, making time came, God put Abraham to sleep. God put man to sleep. God took man out of the equation. and he passed through the meat, as the custom of making a covenant was. He became the one that wrote the covenant, and he became the one that guaranteed that that covenant would be fulfilled. So man was taken out of the equation. Way back when Abraham was living, man was taken, and we often overlook those things because of what has been drilled in us. But here he says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. For by a single offering he has forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy." It was a perfect sacrifice, the Message Bible says, by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. Listen to that. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to perfect some very imperfect people. I like that. All through the Word of God, it tells us God is love. God is unconditional love. That's how He looks at His creation. God so unconditionally loved the world that He gave His only, uniquely begotten Son. And in verse 17 it says that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. By that single offering, He did everything that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process. Verse 15, "Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness for us, that after he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and into their mind will I write them.'" The Amplified says that this is the new plan that I am making with Israel. It isn't going to be written on paper. It isn't going to be chiseled in stone. This time I'm writing out the plans in them, carving it on the lining of their hearts. "And your sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, "All their sins and their law breaking, I will remember no more. I will forever wipe the slate clean of your sins." Think of that. God, the creator of all this universe, wiped our slates completely clean. It's forgiven. I'll remember it no more. Your sins are placed as far as the east is from the west. And yet, what do Christians want to do? They want to point out your past, what you were. They want to down you. They want to. And I talked last week with a young guy, for an hour and a half on the phone that has been hurt by the church. Been through problems. You know, it's time that we realize that if God says that the slate is clean, then we should accept what God says. He wiped it clean. "Now where there is remission of these, there is no more offering for sin." Now there is absolute remission, forgiveness, and cancellation of the penalty of these sins and law breaking. There is no longer any offering made to atone for sin. It's been taken care of. Then verse 19, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood." by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through his blood. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil consciousness and our bodies washed with pure water. Amplified says, now let us come forward and draw near with true holiness and sincere hearts in unqualified assurance and absolute convictions engendered by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power. Trust and confidence in His power, His wisdom, His goodness, having our hearts sprinkled and purified from a guilty, evil consciousness, and our bodies cleansed with pure water. See, that is the whole capsule of it all, is absolute and trust in His power. That what He has said is truth. That He became the propitiation or the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And there was nothing that you and I could do. In Jude 24, that's only one chapter there. Verse 24 says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding glory. Now unto Him that is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling, He's able to present you unblemished, blameless and faultless before the presence of His glory in triumphant joy and exaltation with unspeakable ecstatic delight. Who keeps you from falling? It's not something you can do. Unto Him who is able to keep us without stumbling or slipping or falling. And unto Him who presents you. Don't say a thing there about something you do. It's not what we do, it's what we be. The Word declares that now we are sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. In Titus 3 and verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. How plain can God get? But according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Ghost, He saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we have done, but because of His own pity and mercy, by the cleansing bath of the new birth, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. He saved us from all that. It was all His doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath. And we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He saved us. It was all His doing. We had nothing to do with it. And anybody that thinks that Paul or Saul on the road to Damascus, that was his decision, or that as the little chorus we used to sing in church years ago, I have decided to follow Jesus, that Paul could look back on that instance that I decided is wrong. Because God decided. It was not of His works. It was all God's doing. He had nothing to do with it. You and I had nothing to do with Jesus coming to the earth, dying on Calvary, paying the price for sin. But He has given us life, and it's that simple. You believe Him, you confess Him with your mouth, He says you shall be saved. That's how simple it is. And you walk in that He tells you. Do we stumble? Yes. Do we falter? Yes. Do we miss the mark? Yes. But He's always there. And no man can pluck us out of His hand. Verse 6 of Titus 3 says, which He shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And He did it in order that we might be justified by His grace, by His favor, wholly undeserved, that we might be acknowledged and counted as conformed to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action, and that we might become heirs of eternal life according to our hope. God did it. The last verse in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Paul says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And this is why I am suffering as I do. Still I'm not ashamed, for I know, perceive, have knowledge of, and acquainted with Him whom I have believed, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on. And I am positively persuaded that He is able to guard and keep that which He has entrusted to me, which I have committed unto Him against that day. There's enough evidence that we have talked about this morning that proves to us that salvation is not of man, it's of God. It's not of works of righteousness, our righteousness, because our righteousness as filthy rags. It's His righteousness. It's His work. It's what He's done within us. And as we are facing that day of manifestation, God is telling us over and over again that this work is of God. It's not of man. Man can't do it. If man could do it, we'd already be manifested. If man could do it, we'd already be walking in the fullness of all that God had for us. But man can't do it. But it's that relationship that we have talked about so much between God and man, that personal relationship that we have with Him, that we listen to what He tells us. He's not going to speak in an audible voice. It's going to be thoughts that He places within our lives. And you know when He speaks, because there's no fear and there's no confusion in God. When He speaks to us, when we hear something, if there's fear in it or if there's confusion in it, it's not of God. God is setting as a refiner over His gold. And He is refining us in the furnace of this life. And as He speaks to us, His words become life and become spirit. And we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind. We're being washed by the water of His word. We're drawing closer with Him in that relationship between us and God. You see, He's breaking down all the barriers. There's nothing between our Lord and us. The Word says we are complete in Him. He is made unto us all things that we need to be. We are complete in Him. When you're complete, there's nothing to add to. There's nothing to take away. It's finished. You see, that's the relationship. And trust comes out of that relationship. And that word trust is a word that, and an attribute that we must have in this hour. When we're walking through all the storms of this life, when nothing seems to be happening, and everything seems to be going wrong, the wind is blowing, the night is upon us, the storms are raging, the valleys are low, God says, trust me. I finished my work concerning you before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. I finished my work concerning you before the foundation of the world. My purpose concerning you was sealed before the foundation of the world. And He is going to bring that purpose to fruition and to completion in every one of our lives. We are going to walk in the fullness of His will and His purpose for our lives. And we look around at what's going on within us at this time and say, God, what in this world is happening? But He says, my child, my purposes are being fulfilled. My word is being fulfilled in the midst of you in this hour. I'm bringing you even closer to myself. That relationship between us and God is becoming sweeter and more dearer and more precious every moment. As He speaks and He ministers in our lives, and all of the crap that is between our two ears is being washed out by the water of His Word. It's not what I see, it's what I know. Faith and trust in a Father that was able to make this universe and to create everything we see. His power is beyond anything that we can even consider or conceive. With one word, He could change the circumstances in our lives. What a thought that is. But the fact of the matter is that He lowered us here. He's exercising us in this dimension of time, and He's bringing us through Him that we might return to Him in all the fullness of His purposes for our lives. And I tell you this morning that our God is a great and a mighty God. Even though the circumstances that are facing us, and we're all facing them, if we trust Him, rely on Him, acknowledge Him, He will direct our way paths. If we listen to Him, He will teach us and guide us with His eye. His word will become life and spirit within the midst of us. And that relationship that we're walking in, and I've often mentioned that song, I come to the garden alone, He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me, I am His own. I'm His child. You see, in Him there is no fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. When you know the Creator that created and formed us and placed us here on this earth, and you walk with Him, there is no fear. Because He has promised that all things work together for good to them who love God and called according to His purpose. And the fact of the matter is, all creation has been called according to His purpose. All has not been watered yet, but all have been called according to His purpose. And that day when the Spirit will water all creation is coming. That day of manifestation when God's people shall speak upon this earth the word of the Lord that will water creation, that day is coming. But in this hour, we're walking, we're talking, we're in relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. and we lean on Him, trust in Him, that all of the work within us that needs to be done is being taken care of. What a great and a mighty and a glorious Father we serve and walk with. Amen.